Hello and welcome to our program. Today we're in program number 3 in the book of Genesis. If you can, have your Bible ready. Today in Genesis chapter 2, we begin in verse number 4, and we read there, "These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth, when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heaven." Now, you'll see the phrase there, "Lord God," capital L, capital O, capital R, and capital D, followed by the word God. When you see that in the Old Testament, you'll see it over 530 times. When you see that written that way, it's referring to Jesus. He was very much alive in the Old Testament. And it says here again, reading in verse number 4, "These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created in the day that Jesus made the earth and the heavens." Very interesting. He was very active in the Old Testament. We'll see that as we go down through this portion of Scripture. Before we do, listen to this message and song, "Let Him Have His Way With Thee."
Would you live for Jesus and be always pure and good? Would you walk with Him within the narrow road? Would you have Him bear your burden, carry all your load? Let Him have His way with thee. His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see. 'Twas best for Him to have His way with thee. Would you have Him make you free and follow at His call? Would you know the peace that comes by giving all? Would you have Him save you so that you can never fall? Let Him have His way with thee. Find a place of constant rest. Would you prove Him true in providential test? Would you in His service labor always at your best? Let Him have His way with thee. His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and
well, we read here in verse number 4 that it was the Lord God, or Jesus, who made the earth and the heavens. Actually, in Genesis 1 and verse number 1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." And that word in the Hebrew is a uniplural noun. It's actually referring to the Trinity, and all three of them were involved in the creation of the world. But we'll see as we go through this portion of Scripture that Jesus was very active in the Old Testament. As we said, over 530 times in the Old Testament, you'll have this phrase, "Lord God," referring to Jesus. It says in verse 5 that He caused not it to rain upon the earth, and the earth was watered with a mist at that time, verse number 5, referring to Jesus. And then in verse number 7, "The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul." It was Jesus who did that. In verse number 8, we read, "The Lord God planted a garden," and of course that was the Garden of Eden, and it was Jesus who did that. "And out of the ground," verse 9, "made the Lord God to grow every tree, including the tree of life. In verse number 15, we read, "And the Lord God," again, that's referring to Jesus, "the Lord God took the man, put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." Verse 16, "The Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die.'" I mentioned before I was saved, I was 12 years old, and I read this portion of Scripture, and I had to wonder, well, why did God put that tree there? If he hadn't put that tree there, we wouldn't have this problem. They wouldn't have been tempted to eat it. Well, God gave us a free will, and we're pretty glad that he did. Now, there would be a lot of people angry with God today if they didn't have a free will, if they had to go to church on Sunday, if they had to pray every day, if they had to read the Bible, if they had to love their neighbor, if they had to be kind to one another. No, God didn't want any robots. He could have put a control panel in heaven. He could have put a little computer chip in the back of our head, and he could have pushed the buttons and get us to do what he wanted us to do. But then he'd have a robot. He didn't. He created man, and he gave us a free will. But he gave them some commandments. He said, don't eat the fruit on that one tree, because in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Verse 18, "The Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." We read in verse 19, "The Lord God formed every beast of the field," talks about the fowls of the air. He brought them to Adam, and Adam named everything. We read down in verse number 21, "The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had made from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, 'This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh.'" Well, it says in verse 25, "And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." Well, chapter 3 opens with these words, "Now the serpent." We read in verse 1 in chapter 3, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, 'Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?'" Now the serpent. Now he's mentioned the first time in the third chapter from the beginning, and he's mentioned the last time, the third chapter, from the end of the Bible. And he is very busy on every page in between. Says that he said unto the woman, "Yea, hath God said." Yea, he questions God. Now the woman, this is the first recorded incident concerning the woman in the Bible. And we also have the first recorded words of Satan, and those words are questioning God. "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" Verse 2, "And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." Now, we find right off the bat the woman's talking to the serpent. What's she doing talking to him? In any event, her curiosity got the best of her. She went to check out that tree, and the devil took advantage of her. She quoted the scripture wrong. She said that God said, "Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it." He never said anything about touching it. Then she said, "Neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. God said, thou shalt surely die." The serpent said unto the woman, verse 4, "Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good of evil." And the woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof, did eat, gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now the first thing it says is the woman saw that the tree was good for food. So here we have a threefold attack. He attacks the body, soul, and spirit. First of all, he says, it's good for food. That's for the body. Then it was pleasant to the eyes. Now we're talking here about the emotional nature of the soul. It's pleasant. It's something that the mind, the will, and the emotions, which is your soul, that's what you want. And then a tree to be desired to make one wise. So the Bible says that the worshiping God is the beginning of wisdom. So here we attack the spirit. So she took the fruit thereof and did eat. Now it says she gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. Now he was not deceived as the woman was. He did it because of his love for her. Well, the devil attacks body, soul, and spirit. He did exactly the same thing with Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, verse number 3, in what was referred to as the Mount of Temptation. Now, Jesus had nothing to eat for 40 days. The devil says, well, command these stones be made bread. And there was an attack concerning the body. And then he challenged him to jump off the temple there. God will spare you. And that was a challenge to the emotional nature of the soul once again. And then he said, if thou shalt fall down and worship me. And now we're getting into the spirit department. The devil does it the same all the time. He attacks all three areas. Well, we see that the woman took the fruit thereof, did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat, and the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Well, we read in verse 8, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. They heard the voice of the Lord. Now they had great fellowship with him the night before, but not today. Verse 9, the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Now he didn't call Eve, he called Adam. Adam, you're responsible here. Where are you? Now God knew where he was. One of those questions that is asked that God already knows the answer to. There's quite a few of them in the Bible. This is the first one. Adam, where art thou? He knew where he was, but he wanted Adam to know where he was. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid. Afraid? That's the first time we have that problem. Nobody had to be afraid before sin entered the picture. He said, I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou should not eat? Now, he knew the answer to that question, too. He wanted Adam to say yes and repent. He didn't. He said in verse 12, the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. Now, you brought that woman in here. He's almost blaming God. He's blaming the woman. Blame anybody but fall on your face and repent. Well, the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And he knew what she had done, but he wanted her to repent. Say, you know, I'm a sinner. I've done wrong. No, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. It wasn't my fault. It was the serpent. So a man blames a woman. The woman blames the serpent. The Lord said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Two things he said. Number one, upon thy belly shalt thou go. See, he wasn't a slithering snake like we see in some of these pictures coming down the tree. Eve would have been 100 miles away in the first 10 minutes. He was a beautiful creature, probably the most beautiful creature in all of the garden. But we read here, God says, the Lord says, as a result, upon thy belly thou shalt go. The second thing was, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Now you can check it out. You see a snake, and he's sticking his tongue out all the time. He's sticking his tongue out. And what he's doing is he's grabbing little particles of dust from the air because he cannot survive without that dust. And so the Lord said, thus shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. You're going to eat them. If you don't eat the dust, you're going to die. Well, the snake has to eat the dust. Verse 15, and here's a key verse in the first part of the Bible. The Lord said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. The very tremendous, important verse here where the Lord declares war against Satan and lets him know that he is going to win. It has been referred to some as the conflict of the ages. We're going to look at it in our next program. Be sure and tune in. In the meantime, here's a message and song that I hope will be a blessing if you've been having some trials. There's some real truth in this song. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater.
He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction he addeth his mercy. To multiplied trials his multiplied peace. His love has no limit, his grace has no measure, his power has no boundary, nor none to man. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus he giveth and giveth. Store of endurance, when our strength has failed, ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's forgiving is only no limit, his grace has no measure, his power has no boundary, nor none to man. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus